Once again, the COVID-19 pandemic has demonstrated its capacity to undermine public health plans and force governments in a matter of hours into emergency measures. More countries have this morning been tightening their travel restrictions after a new coronavirus variant was identified in South Africa earlier this week. Here, Thornish Leo Varadkar said the government will act quickly in relation to the new variant of COVID first identified in southern Africa. Mr. Varadkar said a meeting between the Minister for Foreign Affairs, the Minister for Health and the Minister for Transport is currently taking place to discuss the travel situation.
We don't know very much about this variant yet. We don't yet know whether it's going to be a variant of concern. But I think it's fair to say that given our experience with the Delta variant that originated in India, I think governments in the UK and Europe were slow to act on that, and we want to make sure that we're not slow to act on this occasion. So we're going to act quickly. And Minister Coveney, Minister Donnelly and Minister Ryan are conferring at the moment, and we expect them to make an announcement on travel restrictions later in the day. As people will know, there are no direct flights from Southern Africa to Ireland, and it's already required that people arriving in the country either have fully vaccinated or have a negative COVID test, but they're examining additional restrictions that we can add, and that would include, for example, restrictions around visas, mandatory home quarantine, and the possibility of requiring a PCR test as well as being fully vaccinated. The legislation has lapsed for mandatory hotel quarantine, so if we introduce that, we'll need to legislate next week to do so, but we're not going to wait until then to act. They'll be announcing measures with immediate effect, and they'll do that later in the afternoon.
Separately, of course, the National Public Health Emergency Team has proposed that for at least the next 2 weeks, indoor community gatherings should be avoided for children aged 12 and younger. That includes sleepovers, indoor parties and playdates. It's also suggesting that the wearing of face masks or coverings by children over the age of 9 on public transport, in retail, in other indoor public settings and from children in third class and above in primary school. Mr. Varadkar said it was up to parents to decide on what activities they undertake with their children. He said children aged between 5 and 11 are more vulnerable to contracting COVID as they're unvaccinated.
Well, the government will consider the advice from NPHET, which we received last night, and will make a decision on Tuesday. So unless there's a cabinet meeting between now and then, the advice wouldn't kick in until Tuesday. But I think it's important, though, to understand the backdrop to the advice that we received from the CMO last night. The pandemic is changing. We're now a heavily vaccinated population, and huge numbers of people have now received their third dose, over 700,000 people. So essentially what's happening is the virus is looking for people who are unvaccinated. Cases are actually now falling among the over 75s and starting to stabilise in the wider adult population. This is a pandemic of the unvaccinated. Roughly half of the people in hospital at the moment are not vaccinated. And unfortunately, children aged between 5 and 11 cannot be vaccinated yet. So they're now more vulnerable than they would be in the past. And we have seen a very sharp increase in infections among children under 11 in the last couple of weeks. And that's the basis behind the CMO's advice, that we want to contain that and put a lid on that. Thankfully, COVID is a mild illness in almost all cases among children, but we just don't want to take any chances, and that's the reason for the advice.
Well, in relation to the new variant identified in South Africa, the World Health Organization has cautioned against the imposition of new travel restrictions. WHO spokesperson Christian Lindmar says a scientific approach is required when implementing travel measures.
Let the experts have a work on this, and this will take a few weeks to determine exactly the details about this variant, the transmissibility, whether it's how contagious it is, and so on and so forth. So this will take a few weeks. Again, let's not forget, only 2 weeks ago, on the 11th November, was this first isolated, and it's really remarkable that we are at this stage already today to talk in details about it, but conclusions will not be over today, not be finalized today. On travel restrictions, yeah, I think that's another part here. Also here, countries can do a lot to work on surveillance, on sequencing, and collaborate with the affected countries or with other countries to work scientifically, globally, on fighting this virus and this variant. But WHO recommends that countries continue to apply a risk-based and scientific approach when implementing travel measures in accordance with the temporary recommendations of the 9th Emergency Committee.
Christian Lindmar from the World Health Organization. Well, let's talk now to Professor James McInerney, who's head of the School of Life Scientists at the University of Nottingham. A very good afternoon to you, James, and thanks once again for talking to us on the programme.
Thank you.
This new variant, identified just a couple of weeks ago, B11529, identified cases in Southern Africa, also in Hong Kong, in Israel, and in Botswana. Why is it causing so much concern?
So the main reason is there is what they're calling a constellation of new mutations in the genome of this variant. 30 of those mutations are in this spike protein. I guess we're all fairly familiar with the spike protein that sticks out from the main body of the virus, and that's the main protein that interacts with the human immune system. So any mutations there are mutations that we look at very carefully. But probably the thing that's sort of causing the most concern is the sheer speed with which this variant was not detected at all, and that's at the beginning of November, to where now in South Africa it's 90% of the cases that they are detecting is this new variant. So it's both the mutations and also what it seems to be doing at an epidemiological level.
So what's known about the capacity of existing vaccines to prevent either the spread of the disease or serious illness in those who become contaminated with this strain?
Okay, so I think it's very important to say that right now we don't know an awful lot. We know what the genome is like, we know what the mutations are like, and we know about its growth. So the things that we don't know are what you've just talked about there, vaccine escape, whether this is truly a vaccine escape variant. It has mutations that sort of certainly give us concern for that. We don't know about breakthrough infections, reinfection. We don't know how fast or slow it transmits, though it looks like it's pretty good at transmission, and we don't know what's the disease severity. So it's that new that the answers to those questions, we don't have them right now. So I really can't give you a good answer, but except to say that there's a lot of people working on it, and in a week's time we will know an awful lot more. The alarm bell was raised yesterday by Tulio de Oliveira, who is the head of the Center for Epidemic Response and Innovation in South Africa, and he gave us all the information that they have, and that's pretty much what I've just said to you there now. We know about mutations, we know about the speed at which it took over from Delta, and we know the fact that it's at a high level right now in South Africa.
So we've known all along, and people like yourself have been explaining, that there will be mutations of the virus, but this is one that I suppose maybe in lay terms might be described as more successful, is that right? More than those that have occurred for the most part up to this.
So there's still a little bit of a question on that. How, to what extent had the Delta variant in South Africa sort of run its course? Okay, in which case then perhaps it's this new variant might not be fitter exactly, but it's just different. So we don't know that for sure, but it does look like it is fitter and it is more successful than the Delta variant. At least right now it looks that way. But there could be other reasons why it's increased so much. But the prima facie evidence is that it's pretty fit and it's pretty good at possibly good at evading the immune response.
Right, so presumably that then tells us that everything possible needs to be done, needs to be considered to try to keep the virus from spreading further and from entering, for example, from our point of view, getting into Europe.
I think so. I think, we learned a lot from the Delta variant in India. We needed a bit more time. I think there's probably, we all know that there's probably very little chance that we'll sort of prevent this kind of variant from going global at some point, but you can slow it down. And I think that's important so that we could understand if this is a problematic for current vaccines, for instance. And so I think, you've got to act fast. The world didn't act particularly fast when the Delta variant arose. So I think what I'm hearing from the various governments is that they do want to act fast, and they may have learned the lesson from the Delta variant.
And I suppose, again, it underlines the importance of a global, an effective and widespread global vaccination programme.
Yeah, the fact that this has happened in South Africa is kind of incidental. It could have happened anywhere. And the fact is, I think we all have learned that, you know, if this happens anywhere in the world, it is our problem, and we must, you know, send vaccines there. I mean, part of the we don't know, for instance, another thing, only about 22% of South Africans are fully vaccinated. And in fact, the South African government has stopped bringing in new vaccine because there's a lot of vaccine hesitancy. There's a lot of mistrust, if you like, about the vaccination. So we don't know how much of a problem this would be in a place like Ireland, where vaccination is totally different. So we don't know that. But I think that the fact that it's arisen means we should really try to provide, you know, the centre of it right now, which is in South Africa, with as much support as possible to try and, you know, get this under as much control as we can. Whether we can fully control it or not, I don't know.
And just in that regard, what can you say about the capacity of the pharmaceutical companies to adjust the existing vaccines or devise new vaccines that can be effective against a new virulent strain like this?
Devising a new vaccine can be done in a week. It's very easy. It's really easy. I mean, the issue after that is vaccine safety and efficacy and all of those things. But devising one is pretty easy. And, you know, certainly dozens of good vaccines to the original strains or the original variants of COVID were developed. So that part is, we now think, is relatively easy, and changing existing vaccines, relatively easy. But they still would have to undergo safety trials, and it still would take time. It's not something you could do in the morning. You could develop the vaccine in the morning, but the safety and efficacy and all of those studies will take a little bit of time.
James, it's reported that the Belgian authorities are analysing two samples, which they have concerns mm-hmm. about, to try to establish if they are this new South African strain. We know it's been identified and confirmed in Israel. Is it inevitable that it will arrive in Europe?
I think so. I think if there's anything we've learned, I mean, you know, we can't keep these out completely. I mean, unless you close your borders like New Zealand did. I mean, I think, you know, it is virtually impossible. What you can do is you can slow things down. You can buy yourself some time, and you can sort of mount a response to it. We're not in the same place. The world is not in the same place as it was in March 2020. And maybe there's another thing to point out as well, is that the Beta variant, when that arose, was really good at immune evasion, but it never took over in the way that the Delta variant has taken over. Because while it was good at immune evasion, it wasn't good at transmission. So I think the point right now is we should not lose our heads. We should take a good look at this variant. It is hopefully possible that it's not as serious as it could possibly be. But I think we just need to stay calm and take a good look at it.